All right, and we're back. So, Melanie, I want to start a new segment. I think that maybe we'll get a lot of mileage out of this segment in the future. But I'm going to call this Versus.
Okay.
And this is kind of just a game where I sort of put two ideas or two people against each other, and you have to sort of tell me which one wins.
Okay.
So, this week, the theme is going to be Hollywood actors.
Okay.
So, the first battle, which I think is probably an easy one, but I guess we'll find out, is Joseph Gordon-Levitt versus Michael Cera.
Oh. Well, I have to go with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay.
Is that what you thought I was going to say?
Yeah.
Okay. mostly because, like, he seems to have totally turned his career around.
Unlike Michael Cera.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Cera's great, but he's kind of one note. Like, he almost always plays the same kind of character.
He just plays Michael Cera.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know, he's got some emotional range, so, like, he can make you cry. I appreciate that.
he's also a pretty good-looking man.
Yeah, he's pretty good-looking.
He's sort of, I'd say he sort of grew into his body type. Remember when he was on Third Rock from the Sun?
Yes.
He was sort of a nerdy, well, he was an alien. So I guess that explains sort of the quirkiness, but sort of the nerdy, quirky teenage boy.
Right.
Which, obviously, that show was a comedy. It was a sitcom, so that was supposed to be what his character was. But he really sort of grew into I wouldn't necessarily call him an accomplished actor yet.
Right.
But he's had some pretty good roles, I'd say.
Yeah, and, like, you're not going to see Michael Cera in a G.I. Joe movie. Not that it was a great movie, but yeah, I mean, you're not going to see him in that.
No, I haven't seen G.I. Joe.
You probably shouldn't. It's not very good. I'm pretty sure I only watched it because I think Channing Tatum is in it.
So do you watch all those movies that are sort of... what's the word? Adaptations from... somebody Sparks?
Nicholas novels? Sparks.
Nicholas Sparks, yeah. It's pretty much always Channing Tatum and... I can't think of her name. She was in The Notebook. And,
oh, Rachel McAdams.
Yeah. She was also in The Time Traveler's Wife.
Right. I haven't seen that one, but... Well, that's not Nicholas Sparks, though. But yeah,
but it's,
well,
it's a Nicholas Sparks kind of,
yeah,
kind of story.
Yeah, I will say that while I have incredibly picky tastes in books, I do not have picky tastes in movies. I will watch pretty much anything.
Well, I think there's probably a difference in the amount of commitment between reading a book and watching a movie, so that you could watch a 2-hour movie or an hour and a half long movie and not feel like you wasted your time if it was a bad movie.
Yeah, I will say probably the worst, like, romantic comedy or, you know, or drama, any kind of movie like that, that I've watched recently was that awful Valentine's Day movie. I guess it was New Year's. It was New Year's, the New Year's one.
New Year's Eve,
oh,
or
man.
New Year's Day or whatever it was called.
It was so bad. It was, like, it's probably the worst movie I've seen recently, like, in the last year.
So, did you see Valentine's Day?
I did, and it was better than that one. I mean, it was worse than that one. Valentine's Day was better. It was still bad.
Yeah, but I haven't seen either of these movies, because when I saw the preview, it seemed like it was, let's put as many sort of famous Hollywood people in a movie as possible. and maybe try to make the story interesting by interconnecting their lives a little bit.
Yeah, and really, they, I mean, they have so many different people in those movies that really, like, each couple or each individual gets maybe 5 to 7 minutes total screen time in the whole movie. So it's, like, really hard to care about any of them.
Right.
And it ends up functioning entirely upon you trying to guess, like, what's the connection going to be between a certain number of people in the movie by the end. So, yeah, it's really bad. But I will say, speaking of seeing movies with Channing Tatum in them, I did go and see The Vow, and I actually thought it was pretty good. So
yeah, that's a movie with Channing Tatum and
Rachel McAdams. Yeah.
That, so seeing the preview of that movie sort of made me think of another movie that I saw maybe a year ago. Lauren and I went to see it. I think it was called One Day.
Okay.
And
I wanted to see that. Was it any good?
Yeah, I thought it was good. But basically, okay, it's a movie where you sort of, each scene is sort of one day out of a year in these two people's lives, and it takes place over a span of about 20 years. And yeah, it's pretty good. So, but it sort of has that same sort of, like two people meet, you know, they maybe hit it off a little bit, but then they sort of, fall away from each other again. And then there's sort of the, expectation that in the end they're going to get together or whatever. So
yeah,
I feel like that's sort of the same plot that I got from the preview of The Vow.
Yeah, and I'll say that based on the preview, I really didn't expect it to be very good, because while Channing Tatum is a good person to look at, right, I don't necessarily think of him as a great actor.
Sure.
I don't think too many people do. I mean, he has his moments, I guess. And actually, there is a movie that he was really good in. It's called A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, and that's actually a really good movie. It has Robert Downey Jr. in it. But other than that, I don't think of him as being, like, you know, a great actor. So I was sort of like, okay, I like Rachel McAdams. I don't mind looking at Channing Tatum. I'll go see this movie. But it was way better than I expected it to be. And it could just be that my expectations were really low going in. but no, it was pretty good. It's probably the best, like, romantic drama that I've seen in a while. And the other thing about those movies is I often will go see them by myself, because Josh won't go with me.
Sure.
Sometimes he will. He's a trooper, but usually, you know, I'll be like, hey, I'm going to go see, I almost went to go see Big Miracle, the whale movie.
And he was just kind of like, heard about that.
Yeah, I knew before I even brought it up that he was not going to go see that with me. So when I told him I was going to go see The Vow, like, I didn't even ask him to go. But I think that's part of what I like about those movies, is kind of like me time and just go and hang out in the movie theater for a couple of hours.
Sure. Okay, so back to the game. You've decided Joseph Gordon-Levitt over Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Which I agree with you. I like Michael Cera. I like his movies. But I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is sort of a little more compelling.
Yeah.
Also, in terms of looks, I'm not afraid to say Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a handsome man.
Yeah, but he's like a different kind of handsome man.
Yeah, he's not like your super, like, hulky, ripped guy.
Right.
He's sort of a stylized, like, he's still sort of the sleight of frame guy, but but he carries himself well.
Yeah, I agree.
So, okay. Let's move on to the next contest. I think this one may be a little bit harder. Not for me. but, okay, here goes. Zooey Deschanel versus Emma Stone.
Oh, I have to go with Emma Stone.
Okay, yeah, me too.
I like Zooey, but Emma Stone's hilarious. She's really funny, and she also just seems really, like, like really down to earth. So I like that about her.
I agree. I like Emma Stone. I think she's funny. They both have sort of a quirky quality mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe Zooey Deschanel is sort of pretending to be quirky.
I kind of get that impression sometimes too. And either way, her quirk is not the same as my quirk, and I feel like Emma Stone is more like my quirk. So, yeah.
Have you seen the movie Easy A?
Yes.
That is probably one of my favorite movies of the past, like, I don't know, 5 years.
It's really funny. I didn't expect it to be. In fact, a lot of our friends went to go see it, and I was like, oh, that looks stupid. And that was, like, I guess that was kind of as she was becoming more well-known, maybe. Because I hadn't seen a movie with her before that, I don't think.
Right.
But, yeah, she's hilarious in that movie.
Yeah, and, yeah, I agree. When I first saw the previews, I was like, you know, it looked sort of like your stereotypical sort of teenage sex comedy.
Right.
And then I don't remember why we decided to go see it, but yeah, I ended up pretty much laughing my ass off for the entire thing.
Yeah.
And I think that just goes back to sort of Emma Stone's sort of natural comedy abilities.
Yeah. She was also really good in that movie with Steve Carell and what's his face?
I don't remember what it was called, but he and his wife, or Steve Carell and his wife, get separated.
Yeah.
And was that? Yeah, I guess that was Emma Stone.
Yeah. Who's the other guy? He's really
the famous guy who's in every movie.
Yeah. He's in the Ides of March.
People who are listening to this are yelling. I was actually gonna put him versus somebody else in this game, but I couldn't remember his name.
Oh my god, what is his name? Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling. I was gonna pit him against another Ryan who I can't remember. Wow, this segment is going really well. not Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
It was he was in a lot of sort of older teen movies. Not like super old, but like from the 90s or early 2000s.
Philippi?
Yeah, Ryan Philippi.
Yeah.
There was a while where I was getting Ryan Gosling and Ryan Philippi confused. Like, people would say, oh, let's go see that new Ryan Gosling movie. And I was like, why the hell is Ryan Philippi in a movie?
Like, he's still around?
Yeah. And then Lauren was like, yeah, you know, he's in, like, every movie now. And I was like, what? I haven't seen him on anything in, like, 10 years.
Yeah. I would go with Ryan Gosling if that was a contest.
Yeah, I guess I would, too.
Mostly because of his performance in Lars and the Real Girl. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
You should watch that movie. It's really good.
Does he play Lars?
He does play Lars.
That's sort of like an independent film, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like this super weird dude, and he ends up purchasing a real doll to be like his girlfriend. And right. It's really great.
It's like a sex doll, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's not using it for that. But
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just using it really and pretending weird. That it's his girlfriend.
It's just really quirky porn. It's really great. You should watch it.
All right. You'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on to the last contest. I think this one, I'm sort of undecided on this one. I think it's going to be kind of tough.
Okay.
And basically, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman versus Jeff Bridges.
Oh. Well, this is probably hard for some people, but for me, it's a no-brainer. I have to go with Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
Because for some reason, the thing that makes everyone in the world love Philip Seymour Hoffman, I don't have it.
You're not a PSH fan?
No, and you know, there was a time in my life when I thought, what's wrong with me? Why don't I like this guy? I don't dislike him, I guess. I think part of it is that I think he chooses his roles really well, because he always plays sort of like odd, not romantic, like,
sorry.
Kinds of characters. But for me, like, unless there's something particularly endearing about those characters, I don't usually get into them. So
sure.
So it's just harder for me to relate to.
Yeah, he always plays sort of the unlikable character.
Yeah.
So I can see how his choice of roles would sort of affect how you see how you view his sort of acting performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good actor. I just don't care. I guess. I thought he was good in Ides of March, though. I thought he was pretty good in that movie.
Yeah, I'd say he sort of has almost the same problem that Michael Cera has. Uh-huh. He's not always playing the same character, but he's always playing, I don't know, like, he's always playing the character with, like, the big glaring flaw.
Yeah, that's true. In writing and stuff, I would love all of those characters, but in movies, it's just harder. Like, he was in that, he played the priest in that one movie about the Catholic Church.
Oh, Doubt?
Yeah, and that was a great movie, and I think he was really good in it, but I didn't like him.
Sure. Okay, so when you chose Jeff Bridges, are you choosing Jeff Bridges because you're sort of indifferent about PSH?
No, I really like Jeff Bridges. And, I mean, everyone, I think, who saw Crazy Heart really liked it. That's one movie that I really, really like him in. And to be honest, I've never seen The Big Lebowski all the way through, so that's not why either.
That's something that you should probably rectify.
I
think that movie might get sort of a bad representation because there are so many, like, douchebags who like that movie.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, when anything gets popular because it's good, you're going to have sort of those fans that gravitate towards it that you sort of hate.
Yeah. I've tried watching it, but I can't say that I have always tried watching it, like, at the right time. Like, the last time that I tried watching it, I was, I had just gotten back from a wedding late at night, and I was exhausted, and I was, like, had traveled, like, 13 hours, like, the day before to get there, and was with our friend Zach and some people in his program, and they were watching it. And so I was, like, in a random house with strangers, exhausted, still in my wedding clothes, I'm pretty sure, trying to watch this movie.
That's probably not a good time to watch anything.
Probably not. So, I mean, I can't say I've given it, like, an honest try. And I've definitely been proven wrong when I initially didn't like a movie before. Like, I watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Uh-huh. And I only made it through the first 30 minutes before I had to do something. And it didn't grab me in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I waited, like, 2 weeks to finish watching it. And then I loved it. So yeah,
that movie is a little bit of a slow burn.
Yeah.
But then there's sort of, like, I don't know, the back half of it is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
With all the sort of seeing how memories relate to each other.
Right.
That's probably one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
And he's not really funny in it. It's more of a serious thing.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So I don't know if we're going to do this segment every week, but it's probably going to be something reoccurring. If anybody out there is listening and you have ideas for sort of themes, shoot me an email or send us a voice message, and we will probably use it in whatever the next episode is. We'll be back in just a second.